Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Celebrating the return of the fans, Mark's having a special deal for the first game versus Ball State. Purchase one RV for the weekend, you got a second one for free. That, folks, is a two-for-one deal. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or you can call Mark at 800-519-8467. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, let's get going. Let's start with the review of the news. This past week, Big Ten rolled into Penn State practices, the Big Ten Network. They always do this where they come in, they watch one practice, and they come to some conclusions about the team. Josh Perry, I think he was an Ohio State linebacker. He came to three conclusions. The running backs are good. The defensive backs are good. And he's not so sure about the quarterbacks. Did you have to be out at practice to come to those conclusions?
Yeah, right. So I right. The quarterback, you don't evaluate the quarterback. Let's start with the quarterback. You don't do that on a one practice thing, right? Like, you don't go in and say, hey, I was able to be the insider. I was able to watch him practice, and it looks like they're going to struggle. Well, yeah, duh. He was not good in 2020. The team was 4-5. Of course there's going to be question marks about the quarterback. You should not evaluate any of Sean Clifford and what he's doing based on anything in a practice or even five practices. He is a struggling starting quarterback for a, you know, top 20, you know, Power 5 conference team. He has to play and play his way through this. That's the only way we're going to be able to evaluate it. I just think it just ticks me off because it's almost like 2020 didn't happen. Sean struggled. Sean had a rough year. So to say, like, he's going to flip the script and do it during the offseason or during camp? Come on, dude. That's kiddie pool. And I'm sorry, the defensive backs, I know they're talented, right? Jimmy, you would agree with me. They are talented. But they were awful last year. Just absolutely awful, right, as a secondary. That secondary was awful together. I'm not saying they're an awful secondary. I'm saying last year they played awful. So are the DBs any good individually? Yeah, they're pretty good. But as a unit contributing to a defense, the last nine game sample that we have, they were not very good at all. So, you know, that's the thing. And the running back room is stacked. Yeah, okay. Jeez. Tell me something everybody in the world doesn't already know. I mean, I get it. And I know, and I like Dave Revson a lot too. I always like his interviews. When they go to camps and he interviews players and coaches, I always like Dave Revson interviews because he's one of the best around. So that's why I watched it. But they also love Brandon Smith, as they should. And that one I'm okay with.
Well, I think you have to take any of these things with a grain of salt. First of all, you know, we're Penn State people. We follow Penn State. So we probably know the team as well or better than, you know, the Big Ten experts who come into a camp. But they do this with a total of, you know, 14 different teams. So to expect right. them to know. Now, on the surface, if you're not a Penn State fan and you listen, okay, those are three pretty good tidbits. The running back room is solid. There's a lot of talent at DB. And guess what? A year ago, Sean Clifford struggled. I'm going to tell you that's an issue without having to go to the practice to see it. That's pretty
right.
I would have been more attentive if he said something to the effect of, wow, Sean Clifford looks great after having a struggling year last year. Hey, the running backs, there's all that talent. but they didn't look so sharp to me. You know, if it kind of was against the grain, and by him being at practice, he saw something that we don't already know. That was not the case. And I know a lot of fans get worked up when you hear anything negative, especially about the quarterback, but it wasn't like he said the guy's awful. He just said, well, he didn't have a great practice, and there's not a lot of great depth there. Fine. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, last word on this real quick is it is with great caution and optimism, and you have to be very, very careful and conscious of this. There is some ridiculous potential for this football team. It is borderline ludicrous, the potential of this football team. But that there's a lot of pieces that got to kind of tumble, and, you know, a couple have, you know, you got to figure out the seven blue puzzle pieces in the middle that all look exactly the same, right? There's some pieces that could come together, but optimistically, whoo, man, there is some real, real, real potential for this football team in 2021.
That's a little foreshadowing for quarter number four, so make sure you stick around for that. All right, let's get to the next one, Andy. AP rankings came out this week. Penn State is number 19. Too high, too low, or just about right?
Well, having just said what I just said, right? Like, and, you know, having done rankings for a long part of my career as a sports writer, man, when you got a team that was 4-5 a year ago, okay, I know they won their last four games. Look at their opponents, too. But I think it's a bit of a gift, that high of a ranking. The thing I take away from the polls is that yes, they agree there is potential. There is potential for this team, and you don't want to get caught with them, you know, not being ranked if they sort of, you know, live up to some of that potential. It's crazy, the potential. We are going to talk about it in quarter four. The whole interesting thing to me is Ohio State, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Iowa. They're all ranked above Penn State in the Big Ten. And guess what? Penn State gets to play them all. So you don't have to worry about that scenario where, well, we're going to need some help from others. They've got their marching orders right in front of them. The teams, them being ranked fifth in the Big Ten nationally is the right place, especially coming off a 4-5 season. So I think it's a bit of a, you know, program lift gift, if you want to say it from a pure rankings perspective. But I also believe it's not sort of unwarranted.
And also, if you look at this, Ohio State was ranked fourth. And again, just for without even seeing the rankings, Andy, we could have guessed. Guess what? Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State are the four top teams. But as far as the Big Ten goes, Ohio State, yeah, until somebody beats them, they're the elite. And as I said, they're ranked fourth. But what you have is Wisconsin 13, Indiana 16, Iowa 18, Penn State 19. I think that you could have put them in any permutation, those four teams. And as you said, Penn State gets a chance to play each of those teams, decided on the field. And again, when we start to do our preview next week, look at the whole schedule, you know, you're going to look at those three games, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Iowa, and say, those are pretty close to toss-up games, and that may determine Penn State's fate for the season, whether you want to call it a successful season or not. So,
hey, I'll give you a one-week preview, Jimmy, on us talking about Penn State's schedule next year. Do not sleep on the Ball State game. Do not sleep on the Ball State game. That's all I'm going to say. We'll talk about it more next week, Penn State fans. But you should look at Ball State. That's a good football game for Penn State. I like it.
This is our foreshadowing segment, Andy. You keep bringing up our next segment. Let's finish up with this one. A couple more things. Very highly ranked defensive lineman, Denai Dennis Sutton. First practice, high school practice, his senior year, he dislocated his elbow. It's newsworthy, but he should be all healed up before we see him in Happy Valley, even if he comes in early. I looked it up online, just a standard generic recovery time for a dislocated elbow is 3 to 6 weeks. I hadn't heard anything specifically about him, but I don't know how much more there is to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, he posted it on his social media that, like, what, like 8 or 10 or 12 or something like that snaps into his senior year, he injured himself, right? So he put it out there. The question is, and it's an injury that's, you know, generally 4 to 8 weeks. Let's put it in that window and say, does he, you know, I don't know, does he play his high school senior year? Does he recover and look to come back and play, or is he going to shut it down? That's the only question. And the kid gets to choose, right? Like, I'm sure him being a very high recruit at the defensive end position matters, but well, I'd be interested to see if he continues to play or if he shuts himself down.
Well, again, you know, 3 to 6, 4 to 8 weeks. Well, big difference between if he's fully recovered in 3 or 4 weeks versus 6 to 8 weeks. If it means you miss 2 or 3 games at the start of the season, okay, you go play. If it's going to be you're going to miss 10 out of 12 games, well, that's a little bit different story. One more note, Andy, I wanted to get your comment on. This was much earlier in the week, but I wanted to get your take. Will Levis, our old friend, has been pronounced as the starting quarterback at Kentucky. I guess my question is, are Penn State fans going to look southward to see how Kentucky does and say, boy, I sure wish we still had Will Levis here?
Yeah, well, you look at their quarterback room right now, and they can already say, boy, I sure wish we had Will Levis here, right? I'm not talking just about Clifford. I'm talking about the entire room, but good for him. I mean, he won the job. He made such a smart transfer. It's a perfect offense for him as a quarterback because they're focused on running the football, and obviously he's a great running quarterback. But also what I love is they sort of bring this, you know, risk it, biscuit, deep throw type thing to their offense to complement their running game. They're not really a sort of passing, you know, middle passing. They want to throw it deep and go deep, or they want to pound the ball down your throat. And that combination, boy, does that fit Will Levis. And it was a true competition, and good for him is all I can say. I think it's really good.
And I think most Penn State fans wish him well and will be rooting for him. He's in a different conference, so, you know, we don't care. Not likely to see him in a bowl game. But down in the Southeast Conference, go to it, Will Levis. Let's see you do some upsets of the big boys. That's it for quarter number one. Stick around quarter number two. Ross Tucker shows up. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.